My name is Kevin Blakely, and I live at Fencott Drive, Belmont North.
Where did you live when you were at West Walls End? What was your address?
I lived at 10 Wilson Street, West Walls End, the house I was born in 1932.
Right. How long have you lived in this area, West Walls End?
I lived there for approximately 32 years.
How many children were in your family?
6 children.
What sort of work did your parents do?
Well, my mother was just a housewife. My father, to finish, worked in the railway.
Where did your parents come from?
They originated from West Wall then. My mother came from Holmesville, my father from West Wall then.
Which schools did you go to?
West Wall then public.
What age were you when you left school?
13 and 8 months.
When did most people leave school?
Around about 15.
What was discipline like at school?
It was fairly harsh, as I remember. I remember getting the cane quite often, 6 sometimes. And one time I got it, and the teacher caned me across the wrist, which worried him, and I had to go and hold my arm under the tap for an hour or more.
What subjects did you have to do at school?
The most of the subjects you do today, your dictation and your tables and arithmetic and English, and history and geography.
Can you remember anything else about the school days?
I enjoyed the school days. There was a lot of hard games in the playtime and the lunchtime. We played jump on the nag and all that type of thing.
Childhood. What sort of games did you play when you were young?
I played football mainly, a little bit of cricket in the summer. And we went for swimming. With the school, we had a bus that went down to Salty Creek, which was quite muddy actually. But we all had a good time there.
What were the most popular sports?
Oh, always football at West Walls End. It was a football town.
Yeah. What did you do at weekends?
Well, I had a little bit of sport, but I mainly had to do a lot of work around the house. We had to chop wood and get it in to do the cooking and to look after the boiler that washed our clothes and things like that. So I had a pretty hard time, actually, the weekend.
Yeah. What entertainment was available in the area?
Well, every town had a picture show. We never had a wireless to start with. I was probably 8 or 9 before we got electricity on at our house. And I used to go across the road to the neighbours and listen to their wireless. But we all had picture shows. We liked pictures.
Yeah. Did you listen to the wireless a lot?
Yes. I loved the wireless. All the serials for the night.
What sorts of things did you listen to?
Oh, Jack Davey and Palmolive Show. And the Lux Show, and When a Girl Marries, Hancock's Half Hour, I'll be coming later. Bonington Bunkhouse Show, Thursday night was a big night. We listened to the Amateur Hour, that was always a big night.
As you said, there was a picture theatre in the area. Can you remember any movies you saw when you were younger?
Oh, there was a lot of cowboy pictures, I remember. I can remember when I went to the pictures, they went for a long time. I went for about 4 hours because there was a lot of war news. They used to play the war news a lot. And two big main pictures and what was coming. And they always had a couple of cartoons on at Westie. And they also used to have a serial that run every week. So you'd come back the next week to see it.
Employment. What types of jobs have you had?
Well, when I left school, I worked... at Broadmeadow as a plasterer. It was very hard work. I had to leave around about 5 in the morning, which was dark. It was a 9-hour day. And I remember mainly just mixing up plaster in kerosene tins all day long and carrying on your hip and throwing on these big tables so they make the plaster sheet. We only had 10 minutes off in the morning and 20 minutes for lunch, and we worked a 9-hour day. For that I was paid £1.06 to start with, which went up a few weeks after I was there to 30 shillings.
All right. communications and transport. How do people travel when you were young?
Well, my first job, I travelled from bus, Johnson's bus, from West Wall's End to Wall's End, and I got a tram from Wall's End to Broadmeadow.
As you recall the tram service, well, do you know when it stopped running?
At Wall's End. I can't remember the year they brought in the big double-decker buses, but I think it was while I was still working, you know. After I left that job, it was too hard for the money because the finish I was paying 17 shillings to get there and only getting 30 shillings. And I remember it was 4 shillings to go to the pictures them days. And I didn't leave much for board and clothing. So at 14 and 10 months, I think, I went to my first coal mine, which was a contract mine at Curry Curry called Buchanan Borehole. It went in one side of the mountain and came out the other. And it wasn't a safety mine in them days. We had carbide lights with big flames coming out of them. And in fact, the first day I went down the pit, they had a little fire going on the first flat, boiling their billy. And people smoked down the mine, then it wasn't a safety mine. Later on, all those things had to go and regulations come in and they made the mine safety mines, and then you couldn't have any naked light underground.
Did people go to Newcastle very often and West Wall's End?
Well, going to Newcastle was a day out because it took so long to get there, and I suppose housewives went once or twice a month. Of course, some of West Wall's End fellas had to work in town. They wasn't all coal miners, so they had to travel in every day.
Did you know how long it took to get there?
It took a little over half hour to Wall's End and a little over half hour to Newcastle by tram and then by double-decker bus later. But if ever the pits... After I finished that pit, I went to Stockrington 1 Colliery, which was a contract pit in them days. And they did have a lot of strikes. And I remember as a young fellow, if we had a strike, the first thing we'd done, we couldn't get home quick enough to change our clothes, catch the first bus out of West Wall's End, into Wall's End, catch the next one into Newcastle, and we'd go to a movie in there. And we had that many strikes some weeks, so I'd see all the movies that was playing, you know.
Gee. What were the roads like in the area?
Well, the road was tarred from Wall's End to Westie, but around Barnsley and Honesville it was a gravel road. And of course, nearly all the buses, there was a couple through the day that went straight through along the tar road, but most of them had to cater for those people. And they went around there, it was very dusty, very bumpy, and if you had good clothes on, well, you had to get out and give yourself a good dusting down when you got to Wall's End, or vice versa.
Yeah. When did you or your family first get your motor car?
Well, my mother and father never had a motor car in their life, and I didn't get a motor car until I was about 32 years old, my first car.
Do you know what model it was?
It was a Morris 1100, actually.
Oh, home life. What sort of clothing did you wear when you were...
When young?
Yeah.
Well, when we were young, my mother made all our clothes. And to supplement her income, she often made them for different people in the street. They'd buy the material and come up, and she would make shirts and things for different people. But she made all our clothes while we were going to school.
What was the most popular clothing? Well, what was that made out of?
I don't know what it was made out of. I suppose the shirts was cotton. It's cheap stuff, there's nothing flamboyant in them days.
Was it comfortable?
Yes, you wanted good clothes.
Did you cook food differently to the way it is cooked today?
Well, we had a fuel fire that never went out. Working in the pit, I was allowed a ton of coal a month, and the fire was banked overnight. And my mother used to do all the cooking on that, and it was very good. And as I remember, it was beautiful food, and there was always, as there were six in the family coming and going all the time, there was always a pot of soup. I don't think I can ever remember coming home and wasn't soup on the back of the fire, so you could just bring it up in a few minutes. It was stoke the fire up and it was ready to eat. And we practically had that every day in the week besides our other meals.
So that was mostly a typical meal, soup?
No, not really. We had a lot of, we grew our own vegetables and we had a lot of vegetables, but I'm just saying the soup was always there because we were brought up on it, and was there when you come into a cold of a winter's night, if you've been to the movies, or it doesn't matter where you'd been, you just come home and you'd pull your soup over or put a little bit into a smaller pot, warm it up and you'd eat that. But we had big vegetable meals and big meat meals too.
How did you wash your clothes when you were a teenager?
A teenager?
Yeah.
Well, we had, everybody had their, what they call the wash house, and we had generally a brick structure made with a big copper in it and a fire grate underneath, and you'd put your wood in there and boil it up that way. And you'd put it in with a pot stick and it'd go into another tub, and you'd have one of those glass washers, rigidy washers, that you'd scrub with your hands onto that and you'd get them clean that way.
Did you always have a refrigerator?
No, we never had a refrigerator for a long time in my life. We depended on the man bringing the ice around about every second or third day.
Alright. So did you use the ice box?
Ice chest, yeah.
Keeping meat and fish?
Yeah. We got meat every day because that was the easiest way to get it. And you didn't keep things like you do today, and you didn't have freezers, so you just... Your ice chest was more or less for your butter and things like that, and you got your meat fresh every day. Okay. The bakers and butchers called around, but before I went to school every morning, I had a little business going when I was a child, and I used to do the meat messages for about six or seven women, which I was paid about 2 shillings a week. That's why I got a lot of the cane. I was often late.
Mining. How did people mine coal in the early days?
Well, I started mining coal, as I say, when I was 14. Actually, my first job was up on the hill by myself at Buchanan, digging out the clay and putting it into bags and taking it down to the tunnel mouth where I'd throw it into different skips for the men to use as stemming because they blew the coal out from the coal face. 3 or 4 months later, as I was there, they took me down the pit. It was all contract and picking shovels. We didn't even have power borers. We had a stand set up into the roof and into the floor, like a turnbuckle affair, and you just wound the drill into the coal by hand. You stemmed it up with powder, blew it out. They supplied the powder and debts of that pit. When I was 16 and 9 months old, I'd been there long enough, it was my turn to go on the coal. And because I was so young, they sent to the Federation to see what age a man could go on the coal. The Federation's ruling at that time was, if he's big enough, he's old enough. So I was on the coal as a full-fledged miner at 16 and 9 months.
Was work underground more dangerous than today?
Oh yes, it was very dangerous in those days. Nobody cared. I mean, you had to look after yourself. You were employed there to get coal. They give you a token. And that was it. They give you the powders and debt at that pit. At other pits you had to buy your own. But they supplied them. You had to get the coal. You had to fill it. And you put your token on that skip. And when that skip was tipped, it was weighed. And you were paid for the weight in that skip at the end of the week, you and your mate. And as far as safety was concerned, you looked after yourself because there was no one there to teach you or tell you anything. You looked only your mate. As a young man, I relied on my mate to tell me, and as I got older and learned different things, when the younger man came on with me, well, I would tell him all I knew.
Yeah. Can you remember the names of any mines that are now closed down?
Well, yes, I worked in a few. I worked in Buchanan 1, 2 and 3. I think they're all closed down now. I went to Stocking Number 1, which is a contract mine. That closed down in 56, in March 56. From there I went to Killingsworth, the old Killingsworth, that blew up years ago. It closed down the same year. I remember when Stocky closed down, I went to Sydney and marched with the miners in protest. And later I went to Canberra and marched there, but those pits remained closed and they never opened again.
Can you recall any miners' strikes or demonstrations?
Yeah, well, I was in the 1948 strike. I was only a young man then. And I'm not sure, that went 6 or 7 weeks. But we got absolutely nothing from anybody. I got, for the whole period, I got a bunch, because I wasn't married, I got a bunch of withered up carrots. That was my total help for that time. So me and a few friends, we just went out rabbiting around the mountain and over Curryway, and we sold them a big quarter, we lived on them, and that's all that we got. We had no money at all. The protest I was telling you about before, while I was in the Sydney marches, I think there might have been two of them, or three, and Canberra, I marched to Canberra too, and that was in the 56 when they closed down most contract pits, because mechanisation was on the way, and that was the way there was going to get their coal. That was the cheapest way.
Alright. Local history. Residents of West Falls End. Do you remember the co-op store?
Oh yes, the co-op store. We all went to the co-op store. It was the big place then to do all your shopping. You had your ironmongery, they called it, and you had your butcher shop up the top where the clock is, and a big butcher shop, and the chemist. You had it all. In fact, my father's father was one of the directors of the store when it first started years ago, and we kept for some time an article in the paper with all the photos of them when it was first opened, and they had all their photos taken. My grandfather was there with a big grey top hat on, I remember, the old felt top hats that they used, because he was a Scotchman, and I remember that. All my young years. And a lot of fellas that left school, they got jobs there for a little while, because they used them while they was young, and then they put them off when they had to pay them a bigger way later on. Westie store was a big place then.
Yeah. Did the store bring people in Westie close together?
Yes, they used to, you see the women all out the front talking, and they all used the store. And them days it wasn't self-serve, you had people behind each counter and they served you one at a time, you know, and they used to stand back and talk and wait for their turn.
When did the store close, if you can remember?
I can't really remember when it closed, no, I can't.
General, what were the main shops and businesses in your area?
Well, apart from the store, there was only, of course there was a fruit shop. The paper shop was part of the store. The store had its own bakehouse and baked its own bread. It also was the butcher shop, but there was another butcher shop, Wright's Butcher Shop, up in the main street. There were, of course, the picture show, and they had a milk bar each side of the picture show. Oh, and there was a Lindstrom store there too.
At
the end of the war.
Where did people from your area shop? They shop in West Falls End, or?
Mainly in West Falls End, because people didn't have cars, and the ones that did might go into Walls End to sometimes the cars, but mainly in West End, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be too far to go to Newcastle.
Oh, well, to go to Newcastle, they'd done that if they was going to buy furniture and things like that, and but ordinarily day-to-day shopping, they don't in West End.
Do you know anyone who went to the Great War of 1914-1918?
I certainly do. My father went to it. He put his age up. He was only 17 when he went. He was in France. He was suffered from mustard gas when he came home. Of course, he was still a young man when he came home, but later on he had a lot of trouble with it, and when he died, his death was put down to war injuries that mustard gas caught up with him at the finish. Of course, your grandfather, my wife's father, he went too at an early age, and my father brought home lots of things from the war, German hats and the peak ones and the round ones and little incendiaries. that they used in the planes, and it was made out of plaited straw with a type of material over there used to drop out of planes. And one of my favourites was a quill he brought home, like a pen made from a feather that you sharpen. I often got reprimanded for, I used to sneak and write things with it because that was one of my favourites.
Yeah. Did they tell you a lot of their experience in trenches or in the desert?
No, he didn't tell me that many, but I had to ask because I was always, he had a case made with all these trophies in, and of course I was always asking questions and he'd answer them, but that's the only time. He didn't volunteer much information. I know they had a terrible time over there, and he only told me the lighter side of things, and when I said, "Was you hurt?" he said, "Oh, I got a bit of gas, but you know, we've all got a bit of gas." But I think, you know, they had a very bad time, and I could tell that some of these hats and that he brought home was shot to pieces and different things, and he got a lot of metal sewing. I still went through a fair bit.
Mm-hmm. Can you remember the Great Depression?
Well, I was born in the Great Depression. I don't remember much about it. I don't remember anything about it. I remember my mother saying that when you was born, your papers had to go away, and we didn't have a halfpenny, I think it was, to buy the stamp, and some neighbour or some people from up the road give us a halfpenny to send our papers away, so we didn't have much money in them days. You grew your own vegetables and things like that.
So unemployment was very high in this area?
Unemployment was terrible, yes. There was no employment.
What was life like during World War II?
World War II, well, I was only young when that started, and I remember it was very active in West Wales in those days because the commando training range was under Sugarloaf Mountain, and across the old dams, West Wales end pit of course had been closed down for years, and the dams they had, Seam number 2 pit was closed down, Seam number 3 pit, those were before my time, but the dams were still there. And the army had flying foxes and bridges rigged across them, and they trained these boys. When they left Westie, they went straight up to New Guinea and those places, and they gave them a pretty hard training there. And I remember as a boy, we, especially for weekends, Sundays, but other days too, they had a big cart made for us, two or three used to pull. They had a road they made across the pit paddock, it's not there now, made of slag from the pit. And we used to pull this cart over, it had big wheels on it, bike wheels, and it had all partitions in this cart and a back on it. And in these partitions, all the ladies in the street, we knew where to go, right down their street, Wilson Street, the main street, and they would cook pies and different things for the soldiers. We'd take over there on a Sunday as a bit of a treat. When we took them over, Scotty was the name of the cook, head cook. He would take all these things very much and fill up our cart again with the items that we couldn't buy. There was no sugar and things like that, and the women would get them, and so they'd have a bit of sugar to use and some to cook more the next week for the soldiers. But the pit paddock, just behind Wilson Street then, it was where the mess hall was, but up in under the mountain they had all huts made of just things they could make them with. I remember there was a V-shaped hut with a ladder up the side and a half 44-gallon drum on top that they used to cook their meat in and a bit of cover over, and they had to toughen those fellows up, you know.
Oh, Jenny.
And there was a lot of soldiers in the street and going out on leave and going to the movies, and it was a pretty busy time. Then they got on very, very well with the miners, and they thought the miners were very good people, and there were a lot of Sydney boys were very surprised at how good the miners were to them, and vice versa, you know. It was a very good time.
Yeah. Was the School of Arts an important meeting place in Westie?
Oh, right, yes. I spent a lot of time there. On the top of the School of Arts, they had the billiard room, and a lot of Friday nights there was, because the library was there too, and they had they used to have pantomimes there and concerts My father used to write the limericks for a lot of the pantomimes and different things, and a lot of the business people, they used to send them up, like a roast, you'd call it today, I suppose. And they were very fun times, and people used to gather there a lot. And even the old miners used to sit out the front and talk, and they used to play dominoes there, and there was dances there, and there was balls there. And of course, it was all lit up on a Friday night, or every second Friday night, we used to have the billy goat derbies. Everybody had a billy goat in them days, and the drivers, very young they'd be, and they used to get done up in their silk shirt and start right at the top, West Wall's End, where the bus used to turn around in them days, and they used to race right down that hill with their billy goats. You know, of course, they'd be just like a gig, you know, they'd be in a little billy cart. Had the right harness and all, and they used to finish at the store corner there, the store clock is, and that was, and they were great times, you know.
Do you remember any large gatherings there or groups that met there?
At the School of Arts?
Yeah.
Well, as I say, there was always someone around there. There was a library there, and there was everything there. The only big gatherings I've seen at West Wall's End was in the strikes, you know, when they come there, and when the miners, when the army, when he was going to take over the pits, there was hundreds and hundreds in the main streets, and at the monument corner there, and the only other big gathering I remember, when it was, Westy was so many years old, I think it might have been 100 years old or whatever, they had a big procession there, and George Sidebottom led the procession on a horse.
Do you remember any buildings that did not exist today?
Oh, well, yes, there was a lot of buildings. There was the wine bar where the Westy Club is now. Next to the post office where the Catholic Hall is, there was a great big ironmonger place. They call it the ironmonger in them days. Hardware shop today. Just up from there was a building, I remember, hasn't been there for years, that they used to make the coffins. Because I used to sneak a look in there and I used to see the coffins being made. What else? No, that's about it. Yeah.
General information. Are there any other events that you recall in this area?
There are a lot of events. To put your finger on one, I remember everyone in Westy in them days. I grew up in Westy at a very good time. There was always sports on, there was always something going on at the Oval. There was always a lot of miners around the town. They used to have competitions, who could grow the best vegetables, and on West Wall then produced some of the best garden and gardeners that I've never seen in my life since. The way they grew tomatoes and the lettuce was that big, and I always remember they tasted a lot better than you can ever buy today, because they were really fresh and beautiful. And That always sticks in my memory, and Cakey Walker and those people are some of the best gardeners you've ever seen. Everybody in their backyard had a great big place made with roofing iron that they'd go and get their cows manure, and they'd have really, you know, big heaps, and they always went into the gardens, and they were really great gardeners, the miners. Yeah.
In what ways has the district changed over the years?
Well, I go back there in Westy now, and I, you know, all the people I grew up, there's still some living there, but most of the houses now are taken over by young people. I suppose it's cheaper to go out there and buy a house, and of course you generally get a bigger block out there than anywhere else. And I'm amazed at how many young people has taken over the old houses, and I can just drive down and recall all the names of the old people that live there, and I see young women with young kids walking and going into them places now, and that's what strikes me.
Right, thank you very much.